This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2024, held at Ephrata Business Center in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, on March 1 and 2, 2024.
All right, good morning and welcome. Tending teachers, I'm not sure what tending brings to your mind. I think of care. Of maybe a special care that takes some tenderness or some careful thought, maybe working with something that can be fragile to some degree. I have a little teacher saying here that you'll see on your handout that I think makes a lot of sense to teachers, and I think school boards should understand this statement. The best thing about teaching is that it matters. The hardest thing is that it matters every day. How many of you were teachers already? Oh, wonderful. Now please, if you were never a teacher and you are on the school board, I do not want to in any way imply that you should not be. That would be unfair and unreasonable. You can be a very effective school board member. Those who were teachers understand this saying in a special way. I know your work matters every day as well, if you're not a teacher, of course. But can you understand and appreciate that to the teacher, that best foot forward is a challenge? I taught school most of my adult life. That last 4 years, I believe it is, I'm not teaching. I work for Christian Light, also. Some other work. I sometimes want to go back to teaching. I feel drawn back to teaching. But then I visit schools with my work. Visit a lot of schools. And I do sometimes walk out and say, I'm sorry, I see a few teachers here. It's not as good as it sounds. Okay. But I do enjoy the flexibility. And sometimes I talk to teachers who quit after teaching a long career and say, yeah, I'm drawn to go back at the same time. The flexibility is nice. It reminds me, I think, Nathan, I see you sitting there, Nathan Yoder, didn't your daughter say when she said, how could you summarize teaching? And didn't she say relentless? Oh, it was your son. All right. Relentless. Good word. This is not to make school teaching look bad. I'm just trying to create a little context. The work of teaching every day. So when I wake up in the morning now, and I'm a little frustrated or emotionally I don't feel the best, I have a little more flex within reason. For the school teacher at 8:30, their goal is to present themselves consistently the same day after day. And so I think the more school boards can understand that pressure. Not trying to make it look like it's dreadful or that terrible. It isn't. Teaching school is a joy. But understanding that pressure, I think, can help you as a board to do well in tending your teachers. I hear this quite a bit from school boards. I heard it already here, that the greatest challenge of our school is keeping teachers. How many would say that at least rings a bell? Why do you think that's true? I'm curious, and I don't want to spend much time here. Why do you as a school board believe that keeping teachers is one of the greatest challenge of your school? I know that's a fact, but why do you think that's how it is? And see, maybe as we can understand that, it will help us keep our teachers. Some magic here. I'm not trying to give a recipe of here's going to solve the problems. But I'm just curious. I'd really like to hear from you. What are some things that kind of emerge in your thinking? Here's why we're struggling with keeping teachers or finding them. We're kind of at that dreaded part of the year, right? Getting the answers are rolling in. Yes or no? And then, oh boy, we need one teacher. We need four teachers. Once in a while, we need all the teachers, especially in a smaller school. Give me a few things. Okay, So you're hiring young men, and as their life changes, maybe getting married, more financial pressures, etc., then, okay, so should we be thinking about who we're hiring? Is that a reasonable question? That's another subject. I would love to talk about that, but I think it's out of turn. I do admire when I hear of men starting to teach in their 30s and 40s and 50s. Have you taught before? Maybe not. I hope school boards, that's not below your dignity to become a teacher. Why else?
It might be an oversimplification, but not enough people want to teach.
Okay, they don't want, it's not on their hearts to teach. And you don't want somebody to teach who doesn't want to teach, who feels obligated last minute. If you run into that situation, it's wonderful if a school board member can actually do that instead of just searching for just somebody who will say yes. And there's some funny stories about that. I'm sure you know them or heard stories. One that I think about is, this was actually, I need to be careful in my hometown, at least pretty close. I'll just say a young lady whose sister was called about teaching school, and she on the phone gave a no answer right away, and then the person said, do you have any sisters? And we certainly hear of times that I know 80, 90 people have been asked, and I'm not trying to make light of that at all. All right, let's move on. Why are teachers insecure? If the board can understand the insecurities, and I'm going to obviously be speaking basically from a teacher's perspective, and some of the things I say are not going to be true of all teachers. I can't wrap my mind around all issues of all teachers and what it means to a teacher to feel cared for, but I would like to share some things that I feel I hear from teachers or come out of my own experience. Why are teachers insecure? Well, one major reason is they might be teaching your children. How do you think that feels for your teachers to be teaching school board member children or ministers' children? Many teachers acknowledge that I am not a parent. I don't see things from the parent's perspective, and there's a lot of insecurities. I believe sometimes parents are a little insecure about how they, you know, their relationship with the teacher. Well, it goes both ways. There's some fear going both ways. And I think the more you can understand that, the more gracious you are when there are challenges. Teachers are often insecure. Even experienced teachers are insecure. Kind of live with that, can I just say, a little bit of worry? Am I doing a good job? I wonder if you live with that in your job. Do you live with that nagging worry? I wonder if I'm doing okay. I wonder if they're talking about me at board meeting. One of my bosses is happy with my job. A lot of your bosses yourselves, right? Insecurities that teachers absolutely live with. A little weight, a little concern. Not all, but quite a few do. I think they're also sometimes concerned about the comparison of other teachers in the school or teachers before them can be a pretty significant factor, especially if it was an effective teacher. And the community liked this teacher, and sure enough, she quits. He quits. Oh, I will be compared. Well, of course you will be. Of course they will be. That just goes with the territory, but it's part of the insecurities. Board members, be so careful. If you want to tend your teachers well, be so careful how you navigate that change, because it may be disappointing. You may see things that, wow, we did really have it good last year. Oh, we really did like how she handled things. But be careful as you coach that teacher that you don't make comparisons that just will destroy the teacher and the insecurities will simply grow. I think another reason teachers are insecure is the challenge, and some of this goes with letter B, I suppose, but we use the term sometimes onboarding. Now, I would guess that a lot of you business owners, you have a onboarding program when you hire somebody. Now, if you just have one or two people working for you, you might work right with them, and it flows well. But the bigger the business, the more emphasis on how do we onboard these people? How do we give them the tools, the experience to do well? I am alarmed at how poorly I'm troubled at how poorly I have done as an administrator on onboarding teachers, and especially stepping out of the classroom and watching teachers. I failed miserably many times of helping them know what to do. School board members, we can't just tell them, oh, your job is teach second grade. Especially when we hire them late in the year, as in, right? Summertime, no teacher training, no opportunity to really observe. Maybe not even getting to some workshops, which really doesn't help a whole lot for a new teacher to orient themselves. That's not onboarding. There would be a whole session on this. There could be. How do we onboard teachers? How do we get them ready to teach? They have enough of insecurities without being told that, well, just teach second grade. I mean, there's the books. I'm going to mention one school, and I have permission to do this, and that is Horizon Mennonite or Christian. How do they say it? Mennonite. Horizon Mennonite School, which would be Linford Horse School, the one that's on the CASB committee. I brought some... a handbook, as well as a checklist. And I would encourage you to take a look at this. If you have nothing to onboard your teachers, he gave permission for you to snap a picture of this with your phone. So I have a couple papers. I will put them back. And if I forget, come and chase me down. But I'll try to put them back maybe on that white table. Here is a staff handbook. It is a beginning of the year checklist and an end of the year checklist. This is brilliant. Why wouldn't you give your teachers an idea of what are you supposed to do? Well, here at least is some help. Generate your own. Obviously, you don't have to copy and paste. Not everything is applicable to your school. There's another book I brought, which is simply a handbook in general. It is simply called Horizon Reference Booklet. Tremendous, tremendous resource. I mean, many teachers would love to have this in their hands. Here are the things we're supposed to, here is the Constitution, the regulations. How many schools, their teachers don't even know what the policies are? I mean, some dusty, oh yeah, we do have some, you know, regulations and policies. I think we're doing better in our schools. I'm not scolding. I just know some teachers are very frustrated and insecure because they don't really have a sense of what do I really need to do? What insecurities would you face if you would teach school next year? Maybe it's a good thing to think about. What would I face suddenly? What questions would I have? Well, those are the questions that your teachers have. Teachers are inexperienced, many of them, so it kind of does flow with what I've been saying. They have very little perspective. They're not a parent. Most teachers have not been a parent, are not a parent, especially the lady teachers. And so their perspective, they know, is rather small in school and raising children and disciplining children. Can you imagine the weight on a teacher who's 18 or 19 and you as a board and parent say, we're giving you the authority, just do whatever you think it takes. I had a very frustrated parent call me one time and he really left it rip. I mean, the school, why don't they just take care of it? Why are they calling me into meetings? I give the authority, I am busy. I'm at work at 6 o'clock every morning and I run a business. I'm not exaggerating how he talked. It was every bit of that level of frustration. I just pity those teachers to get that kind of a feeling. Just take care of them. I mean, if you need to spank my boys, just go ahead and do it. You know I'll support you. Insecurities, inexperience. They need tending. The teacher's emotions. Well, back to the saying, the hardest thing is that it matters every day. One of the greatest challenges of teaching school is to present yourself with an even keel, the best foot forward every day. Most of us have jobs that we have a little more flex, right? A little more flex. But every day, to emotionally be pulled together. We know some teachers have a deeper emotional well than others. Some are more fragile. Some of that's personality. Some of that's experience. And so they have greater or lesser degrees of emotional strength in your school. Not all your teachers are the same, but the emotional care, I think, is another reason why you need to tend the teachers. I think about this sometimes, especially with young people that experience difficult things. Maybe they were dating and that ended. Maybe they had a difficult weekend relationally. Maybe they come from a family that is dysfunctional and they carry a lot of emotional weight. I'm not saying this in a negative way, I'm just trying to say this factually. They have a lot of on them that at school they need to be able to compartmentalize, and now I'm at school and I need to almost be a different person than what I feel that I really am. Or I can't bring the cares of my weekend into school. I need to leave it there. That takes an emotionally strong person if they're facing difficult things. Another reason why you need to be sensitive. The teacher's workload, won't mention much about this. I think teaching school can be a thankless job in relation to the workload. The long hours, the demands, and I'm not really sure what all to say or ask here. I would love to get some input from you. What do you as a board, how do you handle when you feel a teacher is overworked or they feel they are overworked? This does happen, where teachers feel they're overworked and the board doesn't think so. How do we navigate this? I mean, you can just wait till they quit and then get another teacher, but often that's not what you want to do. Are you handling complaints? Yes. Okay, well, that's a good question. I wasn't really prepared to answer that, but so that is a fair question. It's not a standalone question, right? There's a lot of things. We would have the amount of students, the amount of needs in that particular grade. Folks, you surely know that 5 students can be a lot harder to teach than 20 or 30. One year, I had the privilege of teaching 33 students, grade 9 and 10. It was one of my best years. They were wonderful students. But I often would tell them, students, if you would want to give me a hard time, you surely could. I mean, I can't keep track of all of you all day long at break time. They're all over the place. Well, it was a very easy year in terms of emotional weight. Way easier than some years when I had considerably less. So there's a lot of parts and pieces to that question, but it is a good question. When teachers need to teach 3 or 4 grades and all the subjects, something's got to go, right? They cannot do everything well. We'll kind of circle back to that. What else? How do you handle workload questions or complaints? What is the first questions that the boards need to deal with? We're partway in the year. The teacher is overworked. We're not really making it. Maybe there should be a helper right away. The question is, who and closely related, money. How do you think that makes the teacher feel? Well, we know you need help. We know you're working long hours. There from morning to night. We drive by the school and the lights are still on at 9 o'clock. Wow, but we just can't afford to hire somebody else. So now who's right? The board of the teacher. This is exactly what I wanted to circle back with that, and I have that on my notes. What do we do with teachers who are perfectionists? I've certainly worked with teachers like this. They are so burdened down, and it looks like the workload is reasonable. And you want to care for them and bless them, but the conversation just right away goes to this overwhelmed feeling and a little bit, maybe even a martyr spirit. I just work so many hours and nobody seems to understand. And you look at it and you talk to other teachers who taught those grades or co-teachers, be careful how you would do that, but it feels like a very reasonable workload. It's 1 or 2 grades, it's 10, 12 students, there's no obvious problems here as far as academic needs or emotional needs. It's just sucking the energy out. But boy, the teacher does everything just to the T. And they would feel guilty not. You realize that? Oh yes, I've talked to teachers like this. They would feel guilty not doing all of that because, well, that's what they think they should do. Any help quickly? Yes.
This is backing away from solutions to our fact finding. I like to ask questions of our teachers. What is giving you energy and what is stealing your energy? To understand, okay, is it perfectionism? Is it a particular subject? I'm not saying that.
What a great question. Put that one in your pocket and pull it out the next time. Ask your teacher. Don't be afraid to talk board, please. Don't say, well, I know she's frustrated, I know he's frustrated, but as long as he doesn't ask, because we don't know what to do. That in itself will gain you so much if you can sit down with the teacher, whether you think this teacher is frustrated or not, at least once or twice a year, and just say, how's it going? What energizes you? What do you love about teaching? Is there anything that weighs you down? And let them talk, rather than let's not talk about this. Well, they're gonna need to talk if it gets bad enough, and it might not be where and how you want it to be talked about. It's a way to show that you care. Go ahead and tell me, and we'll see if we can find answers. They might be hard to find, of course, but the perfectionist is one in helping them to be okay not doing some things because they just don't. And I've told teachers many times, you coming the next morning feeling well is way more important than getting that last paper corrected just right. Coming to school and able to handle another day, having gotten your sleep, have a life outside of school that you find energizing, that is more important than being there till 10 o'clock and then back again at 6 o'clock. And then emotionally you're frazzled. But that's sort of their end. But that's something I think you can help them understand. Probably the single greatest weight of teachers, well, no, it is discipline, no doubt. But one of the huge work-wise is correcting papers. And I don't want to say a whole lot about that because we have lots of opinions. But looking back, I think that is probably one of the greatest things we could do to reduce teacher work. But you as a board must take the initiative for this. I've seen this conflict frequently, where the board doesn't think they should correct all the papers, the teacher does, or vice versa. It's often the teacher looks at, I have done this years ago. I took daily grades pretty much so, and I went through and I struck out half the grades, everyone, just every other line, struck them out and redid the whole thing. Nobody's final score changed in that marking period, that maybe 1%. I don't think ever more. That could happen, it would. Hours after school, correcting those papers, recording them. For what? Oh, so the students do their work right and we value their work. I understand that very well. Teachers must value their work. We don't really have time to talk about that, but one of the ways you can tenure teachers is think about this. And I'm not holding Christian Light's way up of doing it just because I work for Christian Light. But I have slowly come to appreciate that the homework is not corrected. A lot of you don't know that probably. A lot of Christian Light users don't know that. It is designed to not correct every lesson. In fact, to correct no lessons. Now let me finish. To grade every lesson. And then every 5 lessons is a quiz or a test. So we work to learn, and then we take quizzes and tests as assessments to make sure we're on track. Then the students fix their work when they have mistakes. Do they learn? I think they learn better than just scraping by at a 70%, and we have no idea what they're doing wrong. So I'm just gonna throw that out, not as lifting up how they do it. This can work with Rod and staff, this can work with Abeka, on and on, at least some form of it. Reducing the workload and putting energy where what does energize teachers is to study and to get a lesson ready and to have a decent lesson plan and review and to do projects that make school very interesting for the students and for the teacher. So just something to think about and how that may apply to your situation. Let's move on. I know a lot of that was somewhat on the negative. Let me move quickly to what are some opportunities to tend the teachers? And I know some of that, we covered maybe a few of these points, but visit the classroom. Here's what I would suggest you do. Go to your teachers and ask them what they want you to do when you visit. I've had probably, I don't know if hundreds would be true, but probably through the years, of school board members come. And I'm not critical if any of my board members are here. I'm not sure from back in the day. But anyhow. What do they want? If you just come in, 15 minutes later you slip out, they know that you're probably going to talk about them at board meeting, but can you see your visit as a way to benefit the teacher? Maybe sit down with the teachers and say, what would you like? Would you like a report? And what kind of a report? I've had this complaint many times from teachers. It's very predictable.
what the report will say. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 means not so good, 5 means excellent. 5, 5, 5, 5. Maybe a 4, no idea why. Just didn't want to put all 5s down, probably. Looks too thoughtless. I mean, I have teachers, they don't scorn that, it's just not helpful. It really is not. Don't really put 1, 2, or 3, because then you circle 2, and that means that's in the middle. You know, you gotta be forced to one side or the other. If there's a negative, please say. Teachers do want to be told honestly where they need to make improvements, and school boards find it so, so hard to do that. I understand, as an administrator, and I would visit classrooms, it was hard to afterwards say, hey, here's something I saw. Dreadfully hard. So I understand that. But don't you want people to be honest with you? I mean, if somebody gives some, you know, evaluates your business, and I know if you're paying them to do that, they better be able to have the guts to tell you something that they saw. And teachers aren't really asking for this per se, but I think we can create cultures where there's a welcoming feel for your school boards. But maybe talking to your teachers and asking them, how can we bless you when we come? I mean, you certainly take donuts and coffee. That is great. Do that sometimes. But beyond that, what are ways we can just support you when we visit? What would you like? What kind of feedback would you like? And kind of create feedback around what the teachers want. Not that you can change it every year, but at least a good sit-down might give some valuable things there. Provide training and inspirational days. We talked just a little bit about this, about their inexperience. But businesses, again, put a tremendous amount of work into training their people. And I know we say this, and we say this, that our children are our most precious assets. But teachers do, behind your backs, say, huh? Really? I know you believe that, and they know it. But we have, it's not quite congruent here, right? What we're saying, and actually do believe, but what we really get done. Some of this is the onboarding. Some of this is, well, we don't want to take off from work to go to CMTI, or I don't want to be sensitive to what I say. I know we got lots of schools and lots of cultures, but you know there's lots of options out there for teacher training, whether that's through those or Hope Workshops or FBI or classes during the summer, online college classes or the local, on and on. There's so many options. But if the board puts no energy toward that and puts no money toward that, again, teachers kind of sit there and say, wow, we're entrusted with these children. You would never hire me to work for your business. You would never hire me to be in an important position in the business without telling me what I'm doing, without training me, without onboarding me, without defining what is my job, without a job description. But way more important than your business are your children. But we'll send them to school and tell you, hey, I'm sure you can figure it out. I never was a teacher, so I'm not really sure what to say. What are ways that you have found that blesses your teacher for training or inspirational days? I'd like a few ideas. Our teachers really enjoyed this together.
Visiting other schools.
All right, one great one. Visiting other schools, and some of that is very much a culture. Some schools simply do not do that, others do, and so, through the years, of course, teachers are used to teachers visiting. And it makes the teachers nervous in the other school, but it's just how it is. You get to return the favor someday, maybe. So visiting other schools, coming back with ideas. Again, can we make that more profitable, though, than just visiting? Maybe use a school board. And I don't know if any do that. But use a school board and say, we're going to meet the next evening. Maybe for a chat, a meal, or whatever. What did you learn? What are some things we could change in our school, things that you learned from your visiting? Might just be one way to maximize it, and it's not just a day off from school. And, you know, visit one or two schools and whoosh, done. That can happen. All right, so great one, visiting other schools, but then maximize it. What else?
Working through something like the 7 Laws of the Teacher in video form or book form as teachers together, so it takes a fair amount of time,
okay,
a couple of evenings. But mm-hmm. It's good for the staff and the various people.
All right, thank you for that. I never did that. I'm ashamed, I'm being honest. We never worked through a book. We tried to provide some books, and that's one thing to do, provide a little library of good books.
But to do that as a school, and I know some schools do that. I was in one a while ago, and they wanted to meet and talk about a few things in the morning. And here when they were done, they quickly had their little, and it was good. They had their little 15-minute, and I heard them talking in the other room before school started, and they were going through something like that, discussing it. A way to develop your teachers is to actually require them to be part of a study of some kind. And that was, gave a good example, 7 laws of the teacher or learner. There's both out there. What else? Did you find a blessing?
Providing room for the teachers to interact as a staff outside of school.
Okay. So, doing something together for a day?
Or, like, our staff did an escape room.
Okay.
It provided an opportunity for us to see our strengths outside of the classroom and the frustrations of school.
Okay. All right, and something like that would show up personalities and levels of frustrations, etc. Even a day of going to a museum. Building camaraderie on your faculty is a huge thing. And I know it can look like after school, oh, they talk and they, etc. And I see that all the time and I love that. I was in a school the other day, I was picking up some books. And there was a whole... That's a big school. They probably had at least 10 ladies. They were all sitting on the floor, and it looked like a good after-school thing. That showed good culture, good connection and with their drinks and their homework on the floor. And I don't know if students see that, but providing opportunity and encouragement to network as teachers in appropriate ways. And I know that's extremely difficult when there's one man and one lady. For 8 years, I taught in a small school. I was the only man and one or two lady teachers. Obviously, there's minimal opportunity there, and unfortunately, that in some schools has not been very healthy at all and creates awkward situations. If it's a married man, and I was married most of those years, that at least is a help. What else would you have done?
Every other Friday morning, we had the teachers work together for a common curriculum.
What do you talk about? Wow. That is a great one. You heard that? And you do that every other week. You take some time with your faculty. That is great. That's often. Maybe you'll do once a month. Maybe you do twice a year. Boards, I will assure you, teachers appreciate that immensely. When the board says, you know what? Just as an appreciation, we're going to put on a supper for you. Go out to eat together. Or bring pizza in. Or provide a banquet of some. However you want to do that. That means an awful lot to teachers. Not that they need to be pampered and their backs endlessly patted and scratched. But it is a way to say, we appreciate what you're doing. And we know you're working hard. And most teachers do. I know they don't all, but most do. Any other thing?
Provide. Our wives provide mentorship.
Wow. You heard that one? So school boards, and I want to say this very carefully and very respectfully, you know that we hire sometimes 18, 19-year-old teachers, and there can be a group of these teachers, 2 or 3, 5, that are younger teachers. After a while, one gets married, another one gets married. Another one gets married. This one teacher continues to teach. And she teaches 5 years. And then she's teaching 10 years. She's teaching 20 years. After a while, she's teaching with her former students. I have taught school with my former students. And I'm trying to remember former students' children. I don't know. I've taught them anyhow. That doesn't bother me as a man. That's fine. Can you understand how that feels to a lady? But that is very insightful for your board to do that, especially as they experience that turnover and the discouragement of that turnover, but they're still teaching, and they're still teaching, and they're still teaching. It's a wonderful ministry, and we appreciate that, but please don't be presumptuous and be careful what you say to those teachers. Oh, so glad that you're still here, and we need single ladies to teach school. Please don't say that, especially not the men. It's very hurtful. Empower the teachers to do their job. Don't take over, but be willing to get in there and work hard. We don't have time really to talk about this, and I don't even know how to navigate this question at all. But there is a difference between you coming in as a board when there's a difficult situation and just kind of taking over. I'll make the phone call. I'll come in and talk to the student. Sometimes you do need to. You do need to make the phone call. You need to meet with a student. Please have the teacher along. Don't strip the teacher of their authority. But the best is when the teacher can handle it. Why? Because they're going to be there the next day and the next and the next. Now, that has really struck me through the years. The importance of empowering the teacher to do their job, or if you do need to get involved in sitting down with the student, that the teacher actually, if they can, emotionally handle it and they can navigate it, they have enough tact, to let the teacher be the face of it and you're there to support. Because anytime you jump in kind of ahead, it does potentially subtract from the authority of the teacher. And that's, of course, while the teacher appreciates the support, it ends up, in the long run, not always being the best. Find a way forward in difficult situations. I would suggest that this is one reason, and nobody mentioned this, and that's perfectly fine, but it is one reason why teachers quit. And probably some of you have seen this. Teachers quit because they feel trapped in the situation and no one quite knows what to do, and so it falls on the teacher. I'm sure you've heard this before. Maybe you've heard me say this before, and I'm sorry if I'm just going around the circle one more time. I was talking to a teacher just the other day. I was blessed when we finally got down to this hard situation, decided how to bring a student back into the school. And he said, I really do have a good school board. They will help make the decisions. Well, that is such a blessing. If this falls on you as an administrator to decide whether or not to allow this student back in who's caused an enormous challenge in the past and can change the culture of that classroom in 5 minutes, believe me, this happens, especially in an older room. Things are just so, they're okay. But you bring in that student and suddenly the culture changes. Should he decide on his own and need to worry about what all the other parents are saying about this? Because they care if this boy comes back or not? Because now my child has more problems at school than he did before? And what about all the other co-teachers who really don't like this big boy in the school who's affecting all the little people? Help find a way forward. Get involved. Create a board of a subcommittee of a few men who will meet with the parents, who will meet with the student, who will lay out a plan forward. How are we going to handle this? That it does not all fall on the teacher. I'm sure you know situations where teachers simply quit in tears. I just cannot handle having to deal with this day after day. Well, what does the board say? They don't know what to do either. Well, the teacher certainly doesn't know what to do. Just finding a way forward. It might not be a fix. It might not be an answer. It might not work. But it's a way to get through the next day and the next day. And then closely related is follow up on those previous. I think that's one of the most powerful things you can do to show the teachers that you care. So you got drugged into a meeting. You finally had to show up to discuss this difficult parent, difficult student situation. Can you call back the next day, 2 days later? Hey, how's it going? Follow up on those difficult things shows them that you were there because you wanted to be there and you're thinking about them and you care about them. There's something somewhat voluntary about following through, taking that initiative to make a phone call. So powerful, the teacher, to know, I didn't just say I need help and they came because they just had to. They actually came back and said, how's it going? Are you okay through all of this? Can you handle this? Again, I don't want to overburden you as boards, but I do feel burdened about this. I really do. Because when the teachers are in tears, 80% of their energy is wrapped up in that one little boy, and they have other students that they feel guilty they can't help, and they have parents calling and saying, my child needs help too. All your energy is going into this difficult situation. But the board doesn't know what to do either, and they're stuck with this situation. Maybe you don't know anything about that. There's schools that don't. There's quite a few schools that do understand that. And many schools that are working hard to navigate well. I just want to encourage you to stay in the difficult situations, see them through to at least keep a way forward, even though there's not obviously solid answers most times. And last of all, simply voice appreciation, and I'm sure you do that. Little ways. Thank you for what you're doing. Maybe a phone call. Hey, we didn't chat for a while. Any questions? Any problems? Just thank you for what you're doing. We really do appreciate it. They don't have to say much back. Or as you leave after visiting, hey, thank you. I know the famous thing is keep up the good work, but it's still a good sentence. As you leave, hey, keep up the good work, but mean it. Keep it up. We really do appreciate what you're doing. Go back to remembering the best thing about being a teacher is that it matters. The hardest thing is that it matters every day. And you as a board can help the teacher survive the fact that it matters every day. You know, I'm guessing that quite a few of your teachers know you're here. And I say this very respectfully of my board through the years. But I will admit, we talked about it as teachers. I thought about it when events like this happened, especially close by, and your board does not go. And you know people are here from Texas, and they're here from all over the place, all over the United States, but your local board doesn't go. Do you think the teachers know that? Do you think that affects their sense of care? It certainly does. So I just want to bless you for being at this event today. It's a way to even communicate to the teachers. School is important enough to take the day off and spend some time here. God bless you in your work. And there is a short break, I believe, between now and at 11:10, the next session. Excuse me.